Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 159. It is the week of July 14th, 2012. Hope everybody had a good Independence Day celebration. It's kind of, being that it was on a Wednesday this year, it's kind of weird. Although for me, it made the week go by pretty fast to have a day off in the middle of the week. And I was able to have that day off. I hope other people did. I know we do have to have a lot of people that work on our holidays just to keep America going. And I've never lose sight on that. I've worked plenty of holidays, Christmases, July 4th, missed birthdays and all that due to the nature of my job. However, I was able to have July 4th off this year, and it was really nice. We do a non-motorized parade here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, and it's quite a spectacle. There's a lawn chair brigade. There's a parade of kids on their bikes. Everybody decorates their bikes. I rode my unicycle a couple of years, but it's just so hot. And if I don't know if anybody out there knows how to ride a unicycle. If you do, send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And you can comment on what I'm getting ready to say. But the reason I've quit riding my unicycle in that parade is because it goes too slow. And unless you know how to ride a unicycle, you won't quite understand this. But your legs are actually flexed. The muscles are flexed the whole time you're riding a unicycle. There's no freewheel. There's no coasting. You're using your muscles the whole time. And that creates perspiration and sweating and miserable conditions if you're going really slow. So I had to give that up. I kind of missed that. And people have commented to me over the years, you know, why don't you ride your unicycle anymore? And I try to explain to them that it's just too hard because the parade goes too slow. And you got to keep hopping off. I'm not able to go back and forth. I have to kind of keep going forward. Anyway, that's not really part of the podcast, but it kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent. This episode is going to be a little bit about where I'm at with my training, and then talk a little bit about a team relay I've got coming up in September that I'm pretty excited about. Right now, it's a countdown to the Baltimore Marathon, because that's going to be an individual effort. But before that, I've got involved in a race called the Colonial Relay with people from my Team Incognito team. And it looks like we've recruited my good friend Tom Grant to be a part of that, because we needed an additional person, and he was available. We are going to do a relay from Charlottesville, Virginia to Jamestown or the Williamsburg area. It's 200 miles, and it starts on Friday, September 28th, and depending on what our seed time was with our team, I guess we'll depend what time we start. And I think we got seven of our group going to do it. We're going to have to acquire a van, and it's all back roads, and it's 200 miles, and I'm really excited about it. And don't let my tone of voice deceive you. I really am pretty excited about it, because we have not done a team relay since probably 2007 or 2008 with Team Incognito. We did a 24-hour relay either 07 or 08. I think it was before 09. I can't really remember. Yeah, it had to have been, because 2009 was when I ran my first ultra, and this was before I'd done any ultra races. But that was a 24-hour trail race, looping through the woods at a Boy Scout camp not too far from this area, Central Virginia, and it was a lot of fun. This is obviously going to be long, and we did 135 miles, our team did, and we came in third place of all the teams. This will be, and that was the first time I saw somebody complete 100 miles. There was a guy that did a solo, and he did 100 miles. That was pretty cool. He's pretty spent. I've never seen anybody at the end of 100 miler before. No, I hadn't. I've seen people at the end of 50 and 100 Ks, but that was the first time I actually saw somebody at the end of 100 miler. That was, I'm pretty sure that is, and that image stays with me. I made a little mini video of our team, and I remember I've watched it repeatedly just because I like watching videos. and I remember that guy coming in. I can't remember his name. But anyway, so we did 135 miles in 24 hours that time. And so we're hoping to obviously finish the 200 miles. It's called the Colonial 200. I'll put a link at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you want to check that out. It's not too late to register. It's you have to, it's a self-supported team race, and you just have to check in at exchange points, and each team has to supply volunteers for the race. And I've been able to talk a family member into being a volunteer for our team, so that'll be good. And I think that actually saves you $100 in your registration if you're able to maybe supply a second volunteer. So we're working on that. So that's really the other than the, well, I guess I got the Patrick Henry half marathon coming up August 25th. That's probably the first big thing, doing the half marathon. Then in September, got the relay. And then October 13th is the Baltimore Marathon. And that's actually, I guess, the first real big thing. And of course, I'll be doing that with my good friend Lummox that I've talked to in previous shows. And I got to turn the light on here so I can see. I'm not going to bore you with my training status or my training schedule, because I've always kind of, when I've listened to other podcasts, I'm always like, well, you know, I don't really need to hear all what they're doing with the training. But the reason I'm going to just mention mine briefly is because I'm into minimalism right now. Not minimalist shoes, but minimalist training. And I'm following a program from that my friend Lummox got from MarathonRookie.com. We're following the same program. And this is mainly a program for just to finish. Our goal is to get inside 5 hours and finish the marathon. This will be Lummox's first marathon. And so there's really no reason for me to kill myself in training doing extra mileage if my goal is just to finish the marathon with him. I think that being that I've been to that weird place in marathons, being that this will be my 21st marathon, you know, I'm going to know what to expect at the end. And I'm going to know what the experience is going to be like, that I think I can fall back in my experience to get me to the end, as opposed to just doing extra mileage. But there are a couple long runs in here. I mean, there's 18 miler and a 20 miler 3 weeks out. So I think that'll be fine. But I'm in week three this morning. And so we're in the countdown, be starting week four on Monday, and that's when we finally get that the midweek long run up to five, and then the run on the weekend is still in single digits. Did 7 this morning, felt pretty good. It's really, really humid in Virginia right now. Last week we had actual air temperatures over 100 degrees, and then they come up with this thing called a heat index, and I'm not really sure how that's done. I don't know if a calculator's used, or, you know, the new math or calculus or algebra or geometry. I'm not really sure how this heat index is developed, but apparently there's some formula that meteorologists come up with. And then what they do is they tell you that it's 104 degrees outside, which we did have 104, and then they come up with this heat index of like 112. So I'm not really sure what you're feeling. I guess that's what you feel is 112, but it's really 104. So I'm trying to figure out, well, there's really not a whole bunch of a different, you know, to me, anything over 95 degrees is just hot as crap. So I don't really care if it's 110, 105, or 100. It's just you're going to sweat once you get outside, and it makes it very hard for training, especially when I train generally the hottest part of the day, which is the afternoon. So week four starts next week. Pretty excited about that. That race is October 13th. And the good thing about the minimalist just finished marathon training is that it doesn't really take over your life. Now, it hasn't really taken over my life yet. I've still got 3 milers in the schedule, which are really cool. I mean, you knock those, you know, just out and back for me is simple. I always love it when there's a 3 miler on the schedule. I've got 2 more weeks of those, and then the lowest run in the week goes up to 4. And this is a four days of running a week. So generally you do the Monday, run Monday, rest Tuesday, run Wednesday, Thursday, rest Friday, and then the quote long run on the weekend, which it's 2 more weeks before I get up to double digits. And so I'm pretty excited about getting back. I haven't really cut any weight. I had a physical exam through work a couple weeks ago, 203 pounds, which ain't bad. I'm pretty sure that with all the exercise that I'm going to be doing with training for these races coming up, you know, August, September, October, November. November 10th is the Richmond Marathon. I forgot to mention that. I've signed up for that. I'm definitely going to get under 200 pounds. So that's my hope. I guess if I cut out some of the beer and pizza, that would probably be a no-brainer. But the problem is that's kind of why I run, is so I can, you know, drink some nice beer that has calories in it and eat pizza. And, you know, I like eating pancakes and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm hoping to get under 200 pounds, but I've gotten pretty used to carrying that 200 pounds across the finish line, so that's what I'll continue to do. So I mentioned Richmond. Yeah, I signed up for that, got in under the price increase, and pretty excited about that. Richmond has a new finish line this year. They also have a new sponsor. It used to be SunTrust, now it's Anthem. I generally, when I mention the marathons that I'm running, I usually don't mention the sponsor, just because it seems kind of, you know, like the New York Marathon. Well, the ING New York Marathon. You know, it just seems kind of silly. So I don't normally mention the sponsor, but the reason I mention that is that I don't know why SunTrust got out of it. I mean, they got so much marketing in the Richmond area with when they sponsored the race. But Anthem now has it, and it's just funny how Anthem has it. Now the finish line is being changed, and it's going to finish in an area called Browns Island, which is right on the James River. And I don't know if any listeners out there are aware that the city of Richmond, which is just 12 miles to the south of the center of the universe here, has been proposed to be voted the best urban city for recreation by Outside Magazine. And I think I've got that right. And that was pretty impressive. Richmond has the James River, which goes right through the city, pretty much bisects Richmond from kind of coming from the northwest down to the southeast. Not exactly slanted like that, but it does go through the city. There's numerous bridges. And the best thing about the Richmond Marathon, it crosses the James River twice. And this year, there's two bridges it crosses. When it goes south, it crosses the Huguenot Bridge. And when it goes north, it crosses the Lee Bridge, which, of course, is named after Robert E. Lee. Everything in Richmond seems to be Civil War oriented. But this year, there is a new Huguenot Bridge. It just opened up. And so I don't know if that has changed it's a certified course. So, of course, the race course had to be certified again, especially with the finish line changing, being that that's in an area called Browns Island, which is in the right down there on the James River, right downtown. Matter of fact, it's right at the base of the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a skyscraper, you know, high-rise building. So I'm pretty excited about the finish line, because that's a really cool area of Richmond. The James River, Browns Island, it's right near Tredegar Iron Works, which is where, it was an iron works for the Civil War. That's now the National Civil War Center. It's just a great, great idea to have the race finished down there with that area that is just so Richmond. And another good thing this year is that they've advertised in the race pamphlet beer at the finish line. So, hey, I'm there. I'm all over that. That was one of the Richmond Marathon bills itself as America's friendliest marathon, but I don't recall there being any beer trucks in previous years when I've run it, and I've run it, run that marathon twice. I think twice, so maybe three times. I think I've run it twice, so this will be first time with the new finish line and new sponsor and beer trucks at the end. So to me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, that's pretty much the ultimate. And, of course, the Baltimore Marathon has the beer trucks at the end, too, which I learned when I ran that back in 2007. That was my second marathon, and I think I ran 4:31. So, I thought it was a good course, but I do know it's been changed this year. I don't think it goes out through Fort McHenry, that as it did before. And so anyway, we'll see, and I'll be running with Jim, and I think or his name is Lummox, and then he's got a friend that lives across the street from him named, I think his name is Jim LeClaire, and he's an ultra runner. He's apparently run the Vermont 100 and some other ultras, so I'll be very interested in talking with him and getting some ideas about the various runs that he's done. So got a big next 4 months. Patrick Henry Half Marathon, the Colonial 200 Relay, Baltimore Marathon, Richmond Marathon. So I am very, very excited now, you know, with the stuff that I've got coming up. I'm on a good training program. And that'll carry me into Richmond, which, again, will be just to finish and to have fun. And because we always have a marathon party at our house after the Richmond Marathon. We've been doing that for several years. Whether I ran the marathon or not, we have always had people that ran the marathon that we know come to our house for an after marathon party. And that's always been a lot of fun. Everybody just kind of hangs, you know, sits around with their medal and just talks. You know, so sometimes you might have somebody that'll bail because they're just too exhausted to leave the house. And I know exactly how that feels. You know, you've gone out, you did your marathon, you got home, you got something to eat, you got cleaned up, you're sitting there in front of the boob tube, and you just don't want to go anywhere. I mean, I completely understand that, but we have been able to get lots of people to come out, and we, you know, people bring some food, and it's been a lot of fun. So I've got a great, I don't know, I guess a great fall coming up, and my friend Tom has proposed that I accompany him, and I guess Rodney, down to the to Florida in March to run the Palm 100, which is the Palm 100K, and because he says he wants to go down and redeem himself. And I'm going to have to see how this fall goes because I do, I don't even have my head wrapped around another ultra at this point. I haven't thought about any at all. Certainly, Tom, I'm sorry, but I don't think 100K is in the cards for me. I think I want to get some more experience at the 50K or the 50 miler before I was am to do that again because the 100K is definitely, that was tough. I'm not even sure if I could ever get anywhere past that. That's so far off. And I'm kind of holding out for the Capitol Trail being completed. And if any of the listeners out there aren't sure what the Capitol Trail is, Capitol Trail, or Cap to Cap, or whatever you want to call it, is a recreational path that is being built and constructed and properties being acquired from City of Richmond to Jamestown. And part of this colonial relay is going to be on that path. And it's when it's all said and done, I think it's going to be 52 miles, which is a perfect would be a perfect distance for an ultra marathon, mostly flat, recreational path. I would think that somebody would step forward and arrange some type of race for that. They already do a biking event on that. And of course, the trail would have to stay open. But I've been on, you know, paths before when stuff stays open. I've done the Baltimore and Annapolis trail marathon, which is, they call it the B&A. It's not really a trail. It's on the old railroad, B&A Railroad, which is now a recreational asphalt path. And people, you know, there are people out there walking their dogs, riding bikes. It's not, while the marathon's going on, it's not a big deal. Everybody can, you know, you can share the path. So I don't know, Tom, I'll have to give that some more thought. That's a long drive for me. I would probably do the drive as opposed to flying. And I don't need that. If they had a 50 miler, I might consider it, but that it's just so hot in Florida. Well, it's hot up here. I don't know. So anyway, I'm going to talk about briefly my run this morning and then something that I experienced on the interstate that really ticked me off. And all right, so I went to bed really early last night. I was just tired. I just thought, you know, hey, I'm going to get up and do my 7-miler. You know, why stay up late watching TV, doing nothing, accomplishing nothing? I just decided to go on to sleep. Well, I woke up at 4:09 a.m. and I couldn't get back to sleep. I started thinking about this. My high school 25th reunion is coming up in a week or so. And I started thinking that, you know, about all the people I was going to run into. Because I went to my 20th 5 years ago, and I remember there was some talk at the end that they were going to, the class officers were going to try to organize a 25th, and they wanted to know who would be interested in that. And I was like, oh, I'll be interested in that, certainly. I mean, you know, it's just one night. And I had so much fun at the 20th. You know, I would encourage anybody to definitely not miss those reunions if you're able. So we're going to go to the 25th. So I started thinking about all the people I was going to see. My brain was waking up and I couldn't get back to sleep. So at 4:30, I finally got out of the bed and the dog was stirring around because he heard me up. And about 5 o'clock after the paper wasn't even here yet. So I got on the computer and was looking at the local website for the newspaper just to kind of see what the news was while I was drinking some coffee. And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and get ready and go out for a run. I'm just going to go ahead and get this mileage done. So I started looking for my headlamp, and I couldn't find that. Turns out I got a plastic bin I put all my camping stuff in, and both headlamps were out in the camping bin in the garage. So I found the headlamp. I was looking for my reflective vest. I couldn't find that anywhere. So I just decided that the headlamp would be fine because that has a blinky light in the back. So I head out. And I realized that I started noticing that there were several yard sale signs attached to telephone poles and whatnot for yards and different telephone poles and whatnot for yard sales that have already passed. So I decided that part of my run was just going to be ripping down old signs, which to me is just litter that's, you know, vertically high up in the air. I look at yard sale signs that for yard sales that are passed. To me, is just litter, and I think it's disrespectful of the people that put those signs up. They don't come and take their signs down, because what happens sometimes is they'll blow down, they'll get wet and blow down, and they just become litter on the side of the road, and by then, you know, people just pass that stuff by. So the ones that I could reach, I started I started taking those down, and I would just run with them, you know, kind of at my side, and then I would throw them in the trash can. And it made it kind of difficult because I had my dog with me, Blue, but he only lasted for 3 miles. It was just so humid, and after 3 miles, I was had soaked all the way through my clothes. It was just dripping wet. So I brought him back and continued, and I probably took down probably 5 or 6 signs, and some of them were that fluorescent poster board color. And part of me always thought that what if I ripped down someone's yard sale sign for a yard sale that was happening that day by accident, and what if somebody just happened to be coming around the corner who had just put it up and then they saw me yanking it down, you know, what would they say? You know, well, I already have a response for that, and the response is that, well, if you can put a sign up on in the right of way, then I can yank it down. And I actually learned that from my uncle who lived up in D.C. I've done a podcast about him. He's the one that we bear, put his remains up in Arlington. He used to rip down posters of stuff that he didn't like. He would see them because up in D.C. they put stuff up everywhere, and he would rip down stuff that he didn't like. And I remember asking him one time when I was a little boy about that. He said, "Oh, I don't believe in that. I ripped, if it's up on, you know, up on the telephone poles or traffic signals or these panel boxes at traffic lights," he said, "I can rip it down because somebody wasn't supposed to put it up there." So that's my take on that. But generally, if the yard sale is taking place that day, I'm not going to rip it down. I mean, just, you know, they're just trying to get the word out about their yard sale. But I will take them down if they're over. And I don't know why people don't go and take down the yard sale signs. All right, well, so that leads me into, I finished the 7 miles and felt pretty good. And that leads me in, that's my segue into what I saw on the interstate this morning. I'm going to talk about this before I get into the email bag because I got several emails. I saw somebody litter on the highway today on the interstate. I was up coming through Fredericksburg, which is north of Ashland on Interstate 95. And we had left the Wawa. I'd gotten some coffee at Wawa up in, I think it was Stafford County. And we were behind a car coming out of the Wawa that was loaded down. It was like one of those little Honda CRVs, like the old style. And there was 3 people sitting in the back. The car was really weighted down. There was 2 people up front. And we were behind them getting on, coming out of Wawa, going on the interstate because it was adjacent to the highway. So we're going south, and we're behind them. And then they're going kind of slower. So I get out in the center lane to pass, and I see the middle person in the back seat reach through the driver's side window and throw like the wrapper or a bag or something out of on the driver's side of the car. So it didn't blow out because I literally saw his hand reach over and throw it out. And so I looked across my wife, you know, out that window. I said, that person just littered. And in Virginia, it's what's considered a Class 1 misdemeanor, which is the same as a DUI. I mean, it's that's what littering is. It's a crime. It's not a it's not anything civil. It's actually a crime. And it really ticked me off because, you know, how often do you actually see somebody intentionally litter? I mean, not too often. You see the litter on the side of the road, but you don't really see people throw stuff out. It's always a mystery, you know. You know, you see beer cans or soda cans or, you know, McDonald's bags or whatever. And, you know, obviously somebody threw them there. Now, granted, sometimes stuff does blow out of the back of a car or a truck. That does happen, and that's, you know, unintentional, although you should never put loose stuff in the back. But, you know, how often do you actually see somebody throw the trash out? People generally don't want anybody to see that. So it was just so obvious, and, you know, it just kind of ticked me off. Anyway, and they're from Maryland, and their license plate was in the back windshield, and their windshield was all had a big spider burst on it, which meant it was cracked, which was pretty obvious. So I was telling my wife that they'll be stopped by the police before they leave the Commonwealth of Virginia. I'm pretty sure of that. And being that they had a couple violations, well, they'll probably get a ticket. So I just was disappointed, you know, that there are still people out there that will just throw trash out in front of other people and don't even care. And I remember looking at the driver and he was laughing. They were probably laughing at me. So the rest of my day I'm going to try to improve. That just kind of ticked me off. And if you've been a longtime listener to the podcast, then you fully understand why that ticked me off, because I've talked about litter lots before. There's nothing wrong with trash. Litter is just trash that's in the wrong place. There's nothing wrong with trash. Trash is something that we produce as people, as humans. It's just, you know, we have trash. We can't recycle every single thing that we consume. Nor should we, really. I mean, it's too cost prohibitive to try to figure out what to do with every tiny little piece of whatever that's trash. I mean, it's very difficult to do that. I don't know, maybe that came out wrong, but anyway, there's nothing wrong with trash, but litter is just trash in the wrong place. And so I always encourage everybody to find, you know, make sure trash finds its proper home. And now there's no reason at all, really, to litter on the side of the street. I mean, think about how many trash cans you probably pass. And here's the funny thing. This was the joke my wife made. I mean, the car was a real piece of shit, you know. So she said that, you know, she had a hard time believing that there was no nasty floorboard in that car, or that wrapper could not be kept until they made their next stop. So it was just intentional. And that's the kind of crap. And we just talked about that for about 20 minutes about how unbelievable it is that there are still people out there that are like that, just don't really care. So, all right, well, let's get into the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. I heard from David from Flinders Island, and population about 1,000, I guess. David, is that what it is? Flinders Island is just north of Australia, and I was able to get him a copy of the DVD. And he was very thankful for that, and he sent in his donation, which, David, I'm very appreciative of. He's got some big races coming up. He's got a 50K in 10 weeks in Sydney, Australia. I guess he has to fly over there for that. September 2nd, he's got a 31-kilometer race on Flinders Island. It's called a Pub to Pub, and it's got some beautiful cold and sparkling Tasmanian beer, which sounds really good. Probably got a big alcoholic percentage on that. And he said it's put on by the local running club. And David, will you email me back? That's ashlanddave@gmail.com. What's the population of Flinders Island? I looked it up. 2005, it had the population, I think, was 897. But that seems like more people would live down there on that island. He said it's the running club is the Flinders Flyers. The pub to pub changes every year, and the direction changes every year, and the landlord at the finishing line is a very liberal host, and it's the biggest sporting event on the island. Now, I get David uses some, and he sent me another email, and where he said that in Aussie terms, I'd be called a ripper because of me getting the DVD down to him. So I guess that means like an awesome guy. But the landlord, I wonder if that's the race director. David, is that the same thing? So anyway, then they're after the pub to pub, he said most of the running club is flying off to the Cook Islands for a running festival, which is a whole week of races, some with a couple of toughies in between there. There's one that's called a Round Island race, and he said it might be good for his ultra training. So that's where David's at, and as always, David, it's nice to hear from you, and I think I've got another email on the list here from you, so I'll get to that in just a minute. Heard from Neil. I got a couple from him. He's got another a fat ass going on August 5th. I'll have a link to this on at ashlanddave.podbean.com because the web address is a little hard to explain. It's racingtimeandunlimited.org/raceinfo. But go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, look up episode 159, and you'll see it. This is the Dahlgren Heritage Rail Trail 50K. Fat ass, he's gonna have 250, it's limited to 250 people, 8-hour limit, and this is not a fat ass, this is an actual race. This has got money for the top 3 males and females. It's got a race fee, and you have to go to a race briefing. So go check this out if you're interested. King George is well north of Hanover, but south of DC. It actually borders the Potomac River. And it's a beautiful part of Virginia, so check that out. Go to ashlanddave.podbean.com. Oh, wait a minute. No, he's... Neil, you got it right. This is actually... He's planning one on Sunday. That race is on August 4th that I just talked about. I was just looking at his email. He's going to attempt to make it a double and do two. One each day. That is awesome. Yeah, you'll be doing some walking on that, no doubt. But go check that out. I can't remember his blog, but I know he's got a blog on there. Let's see. It's It's tk421.blogspot.com. That's tk42, the numbers, spelled out one.blogspot.com, and he'll have more information on that. So I appreciate that. I'll keep that email, Neil, to make sure I can link to it. I heard from Alex, and Alex is the one that lives down in Florida. He's the guy that did the Keys race. So he's, let's see, he's been training in the summer, and yeah, he ran a 4-mile race on the 4th of July, and he says sometimes it hurts just as bad running as fast as you can for a short distance as it does running long distance at a steady pace. And yeah, I definitely feel that way, Alex. There's a series here in the Richmond area called the Cul-de-Sac Series. It's matter of fact, the first one's already happened. I usually try to participate in at least one of them, and it's a series of 5Ks on consecutive Monday evenings. And for whatever reason, running a 5K for me at a 9-minute pace is extremely painful, and it's hard for me to maintain it. I know that sounds pretty lame to you faster runners out there, but you know, it's all relative, right? Everything in life is relative. But anyway, Alex took his dog out for a run this past week, and it seems like her limit seems to be about 6 miles. And on this particular day, a stray dog came up behind them and was following them for a while, and then eventually stopped and ran back towards the house. He's had a few situations where he's had some stuff thrown at him. His wife was bit by a dog on a run before. Yeah, you can't control everything, that's for sure. And then Alex also asked if I receive Ultra Running Magazine, and it was a write-up on the Graveyard 100. And yes, Alex, I did see that, and that was the first time that my name was in Ultra Running Magazine, so I was pretty happy with that. And I appreciate the offer of you offering to scan that and send it. But I have seen that. As a matter of fact, when I read those magazines, I actually pass them on to my friends Tom and Rodney, so they can take a look at them and enjoy. Because what Tom does, we kind of do a magazine swap. I don't subscribe to Runner's World. He does, and I'll get old entries sometimes, or old issues. Sometimes I get them from my dad, and I just kind of, you know, so I'll subscribe to a magazine and I'll pass it on to him. I think I get a better deal though, because he subscribes to more magazines than I do. But I get the Ultra Running Magazine, and it's pretty cool. I got a comment on the website from Snuggy Bear, and this is he's on our team Incognito, and he was commenting on the Philosophy Corner show, which is episode 158. So go there and check that out. I appreciate the comment, John. Glad that you're still running the or listening to the podcast, wasn't sure. And Snuggy Bear is going to be our team captain for the Colonial Relay, so we're very much looking forward to that. Also heard from Dirt Dog over at the Dirt Dog's Rambling Diatribe podcast. He's a loyal listener. I listen to his show too. He said he also liked the latest episode on Philosophy Corner, and like he said, he learned a lot from his dad in relations in reference to sports. And you do have to take a different view with your own kids when you're not a participant and your kid is the one that's doing the sport. You can't live it through them. You know, you can just really live and enjoy their enjoyment of it, but they're never going to be the same athlete you are. They're either going to be better or they'll be different or worse. I mean, you know, you're not going to be exactly the same, so you have to learn. At least that's what I learned, that you just have to learn to accept them for where they are and the fun that they're having. So appreciate it, Mike. Always good to hear from you. Heard from Keith, and Keith got the DVD, and he got a nice thank you note from Aces for the $10 donation. And Keith took the time to send me this email. I'm just going to read it. He said, recently I bought a $30,000 Jeep a month ago and have not heard a word from the salesman. But I sent a $10 check to Aces and I got a nice thank you note. And he also liked the Philosophy Corner podcast. So Keith, good to hear from you. Appreciate you listening to the show, and appreciate you taking the time just to send the email. Heard from Todd, and Todd's out of Lincoln, Virginia, which actually used to be called Goose Creek. That's up in Loudoun County. He commutes between the D.C. area and Charleston, South Carolina, drives right through the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, on Interstate 95. And so he thinks it's kind of neat listening to the podcast and the fact that he goes through Ashland. And he said something very interesting, that he got rid of his satellite radio subscription and turned his commutes into opportunities to listen to podcasts and expand his mind and things that are thought-provoking to assess what he's interested in, what's important to him. And it said it's totally mellowed him out as a driver. And I think I could definitely pick up something from that. What I do when I get on the highway is I try to be as mellow as possible, especially 95. There's no reason to be in a hurry on Interstate 95 because people never get out of the left lane anyway. So what I do is I get over in the right lane, and I set my cruise control right about at the speed limit, and I get about 8 car lengths behind the car in front of me, and I just chill out, you know. What's the hurry? I mean, you might make up 30 minutes. It really is not that significant if you're going on a long trip. And I'll pass cars, and then I get back over in the right lane. And that way, I've taken a whole different perspective to traveling on the interstate. That goes for when I also go out down to the Outer Banks. I actually take Highway 460 instead of Interstate 64, which is just a two-lane road, and nobody ever gets yields to pass. It's a total pain going down that road. And, you know, any backup is going to, two lanes is going to back up really, really quick. Whereas 460 is literally a straight road, plenty of places to pull off. Yeah, it takes an extra 30 minutes to get down to the Outer Banks, but to me, it's that extra 30 minutes is not worth the stress of getting stuck in the tunnel or whatnot. So getting back to Todd's email, Lincoln, Virginia, which is an unincorporated village in Loudoun County, used to be called Goose Creek and settled by the Quakers. And the only reason I know this is because I looked it up because I wanted to know where Lincoln was. And then when Abraham Lincoln was elected president, that area renamed their village. And I guess it's just a post office area now. It's not an actual city. It's a post office mailing address. But it's kind of neat. So it's a little village area in Loudoun County, which is one of the few rural urban counties left, or up in the Northern Virginia area. So anyway... Todd got a DVD. Hopefully he got it already. And maybe Todd, sometime you'll get off the interstate in Ashland and go down about a mile and a half west of 95, and you'll check out the historic area of Ashland where the Main Street area is with the railroad tracks and kind of the center of activity in Ashland. And that's why we really like this community, because it's kind of a, you know, all-American little small town downtown area, and that's why we like living here. So maybe you'll check that out one day if you haven't already. And if you are in the area, definitely give me an email, let me know when you're gonna be in the area, and we can probably do a little meet and greet. That would be a lot of fun. Let's see, heard from Christina. Actually, I heard from Christina by way of a Christmas card in June. Apparently she was going to send me a Christmas card and she forgot, so I got that in June. So Christina, thank you very much. That was a very, very nice surprise. Heard, got another comment on the website from Neil, just thanking me for mentioning him, so that was very cool. And this was the other email from David down under on Flinders Island. He's got the DVD, and let's see, I think he found a dead bird or something, and he tried to pick it up, and he was trying to lift it off the ground. What a wallaby. I guess that's a huge... He said he saw a huge sea eagle on his regular bush run, but he tried to lift... The eagle was trying to lift a dead wallaby off the ground. And I'm sorry to say, I don't even know what a wallaby is. And then his appearance on the trail forced the eagle to give it up. So I'm learning some new terminology from David. And so, David, keep the emails coming. I really do enjoy reading them and trying to figure out what you're saying. It's amazing how you can speak the same language, but just because of dialect, even in typing on emails, sometimes people use different terminology, and I always thought that was really fascinating. Matter of fact, I've always been really interested in language. I never really studied it or anything, but when people that live in the country or in the South, you know, they use different terminology than others, and down here in Virginia and some even down in some parts of Mississippi, they don't ask you if your power's out, they ask you if your current's on. Do you have current? Meaning, do you have electricity current coming into your house? I always thought that was kind of funny. So, all right, well, we've got the time's up for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I really have enjoyed recording the podcast this week. And like always, I try to get one out about every 2 weeks. I'm not sure what my time interval was this time. But I would like to thank you for downloading the show. And As always, you can get in touch with me, ashlanddave@gmail.com, or you can go to the website, which is ashlanddave.podbean.com, and you can leave me a message through that, through the comment section. And what I want to do is I want to leave you with this. I'm in the market for some new running podcasts. I listen to a very core group of shows, and now that my mileage is getting up, I need to add 1 to 2 shows to get through the week. Don't worry if you've emailed me before with your podcasts. Let me know which ones you listen to and would recommend. I already listened to Dirt Dog, so keep that one in there. And I listened to the Low Country Ultra Podcast, the Ultra Running Podcast. I listen from time to time to the Marathon Show. I've dropped some, added others. So I'm just interested in what other people out there are listening to. So if you have the time to send me an email, ashlanddave@gmail.com, and just maybe list a couple shows that you listen to that you would recommend, please do that. And this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.